Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are just 4 minutes away from another appearance of Bad Tiki, who joins us every Thursday at 4:30. And right after Bad Tiki, we'll get into Volpe and why leading off became to me painfully obvious yesterday, if you still didn't believe. But one other thing I noticed at Yankee Stadium, you know, we've talked about how the bleacher creatures seem louder this year, how their chants of the roll call have seemed louder this year.
To support, lift up Juan Soto, make him feel like this place is awesome.
Maybe that's the reason. I don't know the reason. I just know it's happening. I also noticed something else last night when going back and watching the game. In the seventh inning, and this is the first time I've noticed this, so if this has been going on before, it's at least the first time I saw it. Seventh inning of this game, they're down 4-1. Yankees are in the field. Okay, so they're not up. It's the top of the inning.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd started doing the roll call again. Swear to God, I heard them do the roll call again. And it was confirmed because I went back on social media and Brendan Cuddy tweeted the same thing. I even heard a Derek Jeter chant. So was that Yankee fans being bored? Or was that Yankee fans and the bleacher creature saying, you know what? We're really going to be extra special this year. We're giving you a double roll call.
It's a good question.
Interesting, right?
It is interesting.
Did you hear that, Sean?
I didn't hear it live. I was in the middle of taping a podcast. But now that I'm watching some of the videos, I think we just got a lot of drunk, bored bleacher creatures down 4-1.
So you're going drunk and bored?
Yes.
This is not a new thing?
No, this seemingly came out of nowhere last night.
Okay.
This screams, game was kind of boring, 4-1. Hey, let's have some fun. This team loves us.
So this is the Yankee Stadium version of the wave.
You know what? I got to be fair as a Yankee fan. And I love the bleacher creatures. You're right. That's weak like the wave. It is the version.
No, I wasn't saying that in a negative
way. The wave you do out of boredom in the middle of a dead game.
So they're trying to lift up the Yankees, trying to get them to do something, get out of their doldrum, whatever it is, because they're down 4-1 at this point. No, 4-0 at this point.
Was it 4-0 at this point?
Was it fourth inning?
No, seventh inning. It was later in the game.
Yeah, so 4-1.
Yeah.
4-1. Or just they want to have a good laugh. Oh, look, he acknowledged us because they're bored and hammering beers up.
Yeah, but you put the Yankee players in a tough spot. What are they supposed to do? They're supposed to acknowledge it again in the seventh inning of this game? You know, the other thing you could do is just chant, let's go Yankees. Like, that's always an option as well. Let's go Yankees. Like the old let's go Yankees chant. So this
Why
is
wouldn't
not,
they do that?
Because they were drunk
Because they were drunk and bored.
Yeah.
And the day before, we had Soto signing autographs from the field. So now anything goes.
You're saying they shouldn't be drunk because it's a Wednesday? Have you been in New York recently?
I mean, yeah.
People don't work certain days. Like,
right. Taking off Thursdays now?
I keep hearing.
I know Fridays are dead. It's a 4-day work week, but now we're taking off Thursdays also?
I keep hearing this national discussion that we're eventually going to go to a 4-day week. Like Bernie Sanders has said it. Steve Cohen has said it. And I'm thinking to myself, haven't we already done that? What are you talking about?
And by the way,
I don't know what cities you guys live in, but New York is dead on Friday.
Well, I'll say this too, Tiki. Shame on you assuming everybody takes off after getting drunk the night before.
That's a good point
as
well.
That's a great point.
We'll get to Anthony Volpe and more on the Yankees, including Aaron Boone's ejection from last night. The Mets pound the Atlanta Braves, but there may be something concerning that was said after the game that we'll address in more of your calls. But as we approach 4:30 on this Thursday, I do remind you, Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being and is not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFN, Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back to the show.
Great question, Evan. I've never been better. The story earlier this week was everyone staring at the sun for the eclipse. What was not reported was the sun spent the next 3 hours staring at Bad Tiki's pecs. Throw on your special glasses to stare at a god, and I stay so blingy, my neck so froze, the sun needs shades. You can't melt this Bad Tiki ice.
I mean, hey, Bad Tiki, that was pretty cool, the eclipse. Did you happen to catch a glimpse of it? It's pretty neat, right?
I didn't waste my time with that distraction. The only eclipse I care about is Bad Tiki eclipsing regular Tiki. Shouldn't be too difficult.
Wow.
No offense, regular Tiki, but Bad Tiki is on fire. Flames, hot fire, burn Bad Tiki, burn.
Wow.
Bad Tiki, you will never eclipse the real Tiki Barber. The man's a living legend. The man was my idol. And you aren't real, punk.
What would you know, Jell-O Blood? The only thing you've ever eclipsed is the light from the refrigerator after everyone goes to bed. And don't tell me about a living legend. Who do you think built the pyramids? Who do you think built Stonehenge? And who had the original idea for the beer can helmet with the straws? Bad Tiki is a living legend. A genius and very tall. Tall legend, Bad Tiki.
The pyramids? All right, Bad Tiki, we acknowledge your greatness. Bad Tiki, if you haven't heard, we're doing something pretty cool. We're counting down the top 20 draft picks in New York sports history. Listeners can go to WFAN.com/draft and tell us who they think the top ones are. So I was wondering if you can give us some of your top draft picks.
I'm well aware of what you're doing, Evan. Boring.
Wake up.
Sorry, I dozed off. I have compiled a few draft lists of my own. Anyone would agree Bad Tiki's list is far more entertaining. First list, top five most important people on this show. Number five, the skinny, boring, bored op. Number four, the fat, annoying, bored op who once shut his mouth. Your name isn't in the show, Fat Sajak. Stop talking so much. Number three, Bad Tiki. I'm great, but I know my place here, unlike Don Fattingly. Number two, regular Tiki. You're really coming along nicely, and I am proud of you. And number one, this one was pretty obvious. No surprise here. The show can't run without this guy, Bad Tiki. Every group needs a leader. You're only as strong as your strongest link. I am very strong. Strong Bad Tiki.
Bad Tiki, how could you leave me off the list of important people on this show? I mean, my name's on the show. I'm Evan. You know, Evan and Tiki, I'm Evan.
Not for long, Firecrotch. Moving on, here's my list of top personalities to replace Evan because we all know he is not getting the job done. Number five, Danielle McCartan. She's a true sports fan, unlike Evan. Number four, the guy from A Few Good Men. The guy who says, you can't handle the truth.
Wait, that's Jack Nicholson. This doesn't even make any sense.
Real compelling question, Evan. Number three, Craig Carton.
Craig has a daily TV show, Bad Tiki. He's busy.
No one watches that show. Number two, of course it's Bad Tiki. I could do this job in my sleep. Hey-o! And finally, number one, no surprise here, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
What? Dr. Anthony Fauci? What in the heck would Dr. Fauci know about hosting a sports talk radio show?
Excellent question, regular Tiki. Here's my next top five list. Don't get too excited over there, chunky monkey. It's the top five deserts. Number five, creme brulee. Number four, tiramisu. Number three, souffle. Number two, it's Mrs. Bad Tiki's famous homemade blueberry pie. Mm-mm. Number one is a personal favorite. It's Mrs. Roberts.
Hey, hey.
What a snack.
Hey. Bad Tiki, I think we've had enough of these disrespectful lists. I see what you're doing over there, bro.
I have just one more list. I'll make it right. I promise.
All right, Bad Tiki. One more list, but it better be more respectful.
Number five, woof, woof, rub my belly. Grr, roar. Tell Bad Tiki he's a bad boy. Bad, Bad Tiki. Wakiwuko.
What the hell are you doing? Stop doing that, bro. What are you doing?
Evan, no one ever respected you in the first place. Okay, I have to go now. I have to catch up on the WFAN Reddit. Boy, they really hate everyone, but I see where they are coming from. Bad Tiki, out.
All right, get the hell out of here, Bad Tiki. Jeez, he was as bad as ever today. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. I'm going to give you a smooth transition. Let's talk baseball. So, when we talked about Anthony Volpe moving to the leadoff spot, you know, one of the discussions we have is, well, what do you want from a leadoff hitter? Like, to me, I want a guy that gets on base.
Yep.
I want a guy that can steal a base. I want a guy that's got a little bit of pop. Anthony Volpe supplies all of that. But one of the things that I think people forget about is I want my best hitters up. Because my best hitters get more plate appearances if they're batting first as compared to fifth.
Right.
Let's take last night, for example. The Yankees are down by three runs in the bottom of the ninth inning. Alex Verdugo grounds out. John Birdie singles. Jose Trevino, who should have been pinch hit for, but more on that maybe at a later date, pops up. They are down by 3 runs. The Yankees need a base runner. They are now going to the top of the order for the 5th time in the game. Who's up?
Anthony Volpe.
Anthony Volpe. To those out there that say, this was a bad decision by Aaron Boone. Gleyber Torres should be leading off. Blah, 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 blah. I want you to ask yourself a question. Very simple question. 9th inning, down by 3 runs. 2 outs. Runner on first. Who do you want up? Do you want Gleyber Torres? Or do you want Anthony Volpe?
Probably Volpe.
Anthony Volpe.
Even if he walks, he gets a runner in scoring position.
Well, that's what you want.
Of course.
That's what you need. And I think last night was perfect because it lays out exactly why it's important. Your better hitters are getting possibly more chances to bat. I know that sounds so freaking simple, but it is. So last night was a perfect example of it. If you want Gleyber Torres to lead off because I don't want to break something that isn't broken, or I got to give Gleyber more time and all that kind of crap, you think you'd rather have him up more so than Anthony Volpe, who's an on-base machine? Anthony Volpe walked, ladies and gentlemen, and then Juan Soto came up. And he was looking for a walk, too. Take that as a dig, but that's what he does. He don't swing at pitches that are out of the strike zone. I respect the hell out of it. You know why that's okay? Because the guy after him was Aaron Judge. And we all know what happened. Aaron Judge didn't come through. I'm out here to kill him. He's off to a tough start. It's April 11th. But last night is the reason why you put your best hitters at the top of the batting order. Because there are games, with last night being an example, where you're going to get an extra plate appearance from the guy batting first. Anthony Volpe is better right now than Gleyber Torres. He is projecting to be as a guy that can get on base 38% of the time. Why would you waste that? And yes, I use the word waste. Why would you waste that by batting him lower in the order? Your response.
I'm not responding to it because I think that you're right. Right? It's obvious. Again, when we talked about this, whatever it was, a week ago, maybe less than a week ago, like the only reason to not put Volpe in the leadoff spot was because he could go through a slump. And then all of a sudden you pull him out of it because you think that moving him to the leadoff spot is what caused the slump.
Right.
Right. It's a psychological turnaround. But the reality is this season feels charmed for Anthony Volpe. It started from the very beginning, right? With the ridiculous OPS. He's always on base, the walks, the better eyes, he is striking out still, but not as much as he was last season. He just feels like he has he's becoming the star everybody thought he was going to be.
Yes.
Now, I made an error in the field, but that's neither here nor there. The reality is Anthony Volpe had this massive expectation as a rookie last year, and it's a huge stage to be a rookie on. And there were some ups, there were some downs. Won the Gold Glove, but there was a lot of unreliability with the stick. This year, you could tell he put a lot of work into being right all the time at the plate.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, inevitably, was he going to be the leadoff guy? Sure. And you heard Aaron Boone say it. But the only thing you were worried about was a potential slump coming. But now that you rethink about it, I don't know if that's going to happen for him this year. Like, there may be some down points, right? Some dips. But I don't see him going into a month slump.
So,
simply because his approach feels so different than it was a year ago.
No question. Here's the beauty of Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and Anthony Volpe. Here's why the New York Yankees lineup, despite not scoring enough runs yesterday, I acknowledge they didn't hit yesterday. They could not get the big hit. Aaron Judge is struggling right now. But when Aaron Judge struggles, and he is struggling, he still gets on base 40% of the time.
Yeah.
Let that marinate for a second. That's not an excuse for Aaron Judge. That's the reality. He's slumping, and he's getting on base a lot. Juan Soto will go into a batting slump. And you know what Juan Soto's going to do in the midst of that batting slump? Get on base a bleep ton of times. Anthony Volpe has a chance to be that, too. He's not going to hit all year. I'm not suggesting he's going to hit 350. I'm not even suggesting he's going to hit 300. I don't know where he's going to end up. But he's the kind of player that profiles as someone who, even when he's slumping, will get on base. You know who doesn't profile that way and never has? Gleyber Torres.
No.
So what the Yankees are set up to do now for the foreseeable future is have a top three in the batting order that even when they're not hitting, they can be productive because they're getting on base. They didn't hit enough, but Aaron Judge is going to hit. I mean, that's obvious. Now, the only question I have, and I do not feel this way, I want to make that very, very clear, but I need to ask the question since I brought this up to you guys 8 months ago. And I want to be fair when I bring something up back in October and November and December, when it's about to happen, when it rears its head, how you feel about it. And I did hear one person bring this up today, and that's Sal. Now, Sal, I don't know if he's viewing it the same way. Mm-hmm. He's a Met fan, but he brought it up. He brought up an issue I brought to you guys' attention 9 months ago. I said, Juan Soto is a great baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
He is a tremendous baseball player. But I can see you guys getting upset when he looks for walks, or that's the way you feel he is in a big spot. So last night, after Volpe draws that walk, Juan Soto is the tying run. And you could see on ball four, I'm sorry, strike two, he thought it was ball four.
Mm-hmm.
And he appeared to be, I don't want to say looking for a walk, because I think that's the way you're going to construe it, but he's very selective.
Right.
But in a spot like that, where you can hit a ball 900 feet and tie the game, I could see Yankee fans saying, hey, Juan, you know, we love you. Hey, Juan, we love that eye. But there are moments where you got to stop looking for a walk and try to hit the ball over the fence. I believe that will be a criticism Juan Soto faces. So what I'm merely asking both of you guys is, last night in the ninth inning, when Soto was quote-unquote looking for a walk, was there any part of you that said, hey, we love you, Juan. Can you be a little bit more aggressive?
Well, the challenge is, if you're going against what you're saying and you want him to swing the bat, you think he's going to hit a home run, right? That in your mind, you're saying, swing the bat so you can hit a home run and tie this thing. That's what you're thinking. But that's not his approach.
Like,
you can't make him be somebody that he's not naturally, right? If it was Giancarlo Stanton, sure, dude, don't look for the walk. Just swing as hard as you can, try to hit a home run, because that's what we know you can do. But I think it's different with Juan Soto. Remember back when LeBron James used to get criticized for passing all the time?
Yes, it's
like
in
he
big
was
spots.
Always
yes.
looking for the assist. Why is LeBron James always looking for the assist? Because it was the right basketball play.
Mm-hmm.
What Juan Soto is doing is the right baseball play, right? It's creating opportunities for guys behind you who are that big bat. And so I don't mind it as much as I like. What was this? What game did they lose? What was the one I said, dude, swing the bat? Remember that? It was like,
you did say that.
I can't remember what game it was.
Was it the home opener?
Yes, maybe it was. But it was one of those games where it was just like, just swing the bat.
Right.
Like,
it was frustrating you.
Right. You know it's a strike.
Yeah, we were sitting next to each other. I do remember this now.
Swing the bat.
It was the first crack in the armor of Juan Soto where something was happening that I predicted to you months ago.
But you know he's right in not swinging the bat. And so I think, to me, it's just something you got to get used to.
That's
because,
who he is.
Because it's the right baseball play.
I mean, I'll just start off by saying this. I believe in Juan. I'm all in on Soto. That was such a good plate appearance for him last night. And by the way, much like the Giants in the draft, you can't force a quarterback that's not there. It's okay if his approach is taking pitches and looking for the right pitch. Last night, specifically in that at-bat, there was no pitch there that Juan Soto would have hit out. In fact, he should have walked a pitch earlier.
Well, that's what he argued about. Yeah, he almost gave that death stare of, I know the strike zone better than you.
Look, of course, I would love for him to hit a tying home run there. But if you're not getting a pitch that you can actually hit a home run on, I'm fine with you being selective.
But it's also not his approach. Like, he doesn't walk up to the plate like, I'm bowing up, man. Right. I'm rearing back. I'm cocking my arms, and I'm swinging for the fence. That's not his approach.
And he does everything all around. You know whose approach it can be? The guy who hit 62 homers 2 years ago. The guy who's protecting him in the lineup behind. So, by the way, if that's been Juan Soto's approach his whole career, and it has been, that is him. It should even more be him with Aaron Judge hitting behind you,
by
man.
The way, that's my retort to that, too. That's why I love Soto batting second and Judge batting third. Because even though Aaron didn't come through last night, we all know the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, not to get into the geeky baseball weeds, because this was my biggest thought after the game. If I'm Skip Schumacher, I'm walking Aaron Judge with the bases loaded. I got Jermani Jones on deck. Maybe they'll use a pinch hitter, but the only pinch hitter they're going to use are left-hand hitters. Oswaldo Cabrera would have to hit lefty against a lefty, or Austin Wells. So...
Good point.
I would have walked him with but whatever. It turned out to not matter.
That's where your geeky baseball mind went? You know where mine went? Mel Stottlemyre Jr. going to make mound visits with David Weathers' son. Okay, that's where mine went.
No, I understand that, too.
A lot of 96 comparisons.
The challenge is you can get lucky because you put the winning run at the plate.
Yeah, but you're facing a far, far, far non-hitter. You know what I mean? Like, even Austin Wells, the drop-off from Aaron Judge is monumental, and my attitude is I don't let the great player beat me, but whatever. That's a Marlin issue. But I do agree overall. Like, that's why I think Juan Soto batting second's the answer, because when he does quote-unquote look for a walk, I got one of the best hitters in baseball coming up next. I mean, that's a great spot for me. That's what I would love.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a temperature check, because I want to make this very, very clear. I'm not killing Juan Soto for this. I didn't kill him in December for this. I just know what he is as a baseball player, and I can see how that could become a thing.
Yeah.
I can see that. And by the way, don't shake your head. You may not agree, but Tiki already gave you a glimpse of it when you swing the bat already.
I'm not saying that that won't at some point be there, but I'm just telling you my natural reaction when that ball four happened, I pumped my fist and I let out a loud let's go that almost woke up my kids. So I clearly wasn't upset with him walking in that spot.
No,
I'm more fired up at getting on base in front of Aaron Judge.
No, I get
and
you.
What should have been Giancarlo, but we're pinch running early.
Well, that could have been. See, if Skip Schumacher does, Schumacher, I say Schumacher, you say Schumacher.
Somewhere along the lines, one of his great-great-grandfathers was a Schumacher.
That's
how he got the
very,
last name.
Very good point. If they had the balls to walk Aaron Judge with the bases loaded, and it's Jermaine Jones, or it's Waldo, or it's Austin Wells, then that's the lead story from Yankee fans. How the hell are you pinch running for Giancarlo Stanton when his at-bat could mean a big thing later in the game?
Especially when he's hot as of late.
Especially when he's hot. Javier is calling from Comac, my third favorite place on Long Island. What's up, Javier?
Evan, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, what's
up? I got to ask you, why are you hating on the Yankees with Juan Soto in that moment where a walk's a hit?
Javier, don't get confused. I love what he did. You have Aaron Judge on deck. I'm doing what they call a temperature check. I want to make sure you, Javier, are not hating on Juan Soto because I can see this being a thing. I'm preemptively getting in front of the Juan Soto controversies that you guys as Yankee fans may have. So don't accuse that on me. I'm merely asking questions.
No, because I heard this argument this morning with Sal.
I told you he brought that up. I brought this up 8 months ago. That's my point. This is going to be a thing. Now, I don't know what his opinion is on it. I'm asking you.
Growing up playing baseball, and I played baseball going all the way up to college, they always told me, a walk's a hit. Why? Because you got a man on base.
Javier, I want to make something very clear because I think you're very confused.
I appreciate Tiki and Sean for making that argument.
No, they're right, by the way. I agree with them, too.
Mm-hmm.
You're not listening to me. You think I'm trying to stir the pot. I'm not trying to stir the pot. And hello, SNY.
Mm-hmm.
When they traded for Juan Soto, I said to you, Tiki, he is a great baseball player.
Of course.
You're going to love having him. Can I preemptively tell you the Juan Soto controversies? And you said, sure. What are you talking about? And I said, well, besides him just struggling, because, you know, your first year in New York, it's always a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this doesn't happen, because I agree with Javier, but I can see the Yankee fan getting frustrated with his patience.
But I think that's also just a misunderstanding of him as a player and what his approach is.
So,
and I think we've gotten bastardized into believing that all of these really good players in Major League Baseball, meaning hitters, they all hit home runs. Right, that's what they do. That's what they need to do to change the game. But he doesn't operate that way. He was taught the game the right way.
I agree with you, but the reason I feel it can be an issue is because it was one before. And for anyone who doesn't believe me, I'll cite it for you. Growing up listening to this radio station, the New York Yankees acquired an all-star player, future Hall of Famer. His name was Wade Boggs. Guys recall Wade Boggs, legendary Red Sox?
Of course.
And I remember listening to this radio station and hearing Chris Russo, who I respect and love, you can still see him to this day, going nuts about, listen, he's a great hitter, but can you stop looking for a walk? And there were a lot of Yankee fans that were frustrated by that. And I remember as a young child listening to WFAN, my initial reaction was, you guys are nuts, because a walk is a hit. And while he's a great hitter, and he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, if you know the strike zone as well as Wade Boggs does, I'm not going to get on you for that. Now, let me jump up about 15, 20 years later. I'll cite Joe making a comment about the great Joey Votto. Let me tell you about this Joey Votto guy. He cares more about a walk than he does driving one over the fence. And we had a long argument, not New York related, obviously, a baseball argument about Joey Votto. He's overrated. He always looks for a walk. This is not something I'm making up. And by the way, Yankee fans, I'm on your side. What I'm doing is, and I brought this up 9 months ago when you first acquired him, I can see this being an issue. I would disagree with you. So don't turn this on me. This is about a baseball discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it personal. I'm glad that Sean Morash and Tiki said no. I love that he's patient. I love in that situation he was patient. But you can mark my words, and I can promise you this. You can be all pissed off today on April 11th, but one of your Yankee fan friends on May 7th or June 5th or October 5th will not feel that way. Understand that. This will be
we'll
a
tell
thing.
Them that they're wrong.
And that's fine. I'm asking you guys from last night how you felt about it.
Yeah, it was the right baseball play.
I'm with you.
It's as simple as that. Didn't work out because Aaron Judge is struggling, but it was the right baseball play.
But don't
now,
act-
you want to get on Aaron Judge? Fine.
By the way,
you think he's still hurt? Fine.
He should be the one taking more pitches instead of just swinging the bat on the second pitch there. Jeez.
That's fine. Just, I like to get ahead of things. And so when I brought this up to you in December, I wanted to see that first moment. And that was a moment where you could feel it.
But That's right, baby.
But I agree, you got to be you. I'm completely in agreement with that.
And he is him. All we need to do, though, is make sure those one or two people on May 9th or October 8th, just don't boo.
I tell you, he has created so much goodwill early on that I don't think you have to worry about the booing. He's created boo goodwill. Doesn't mean he won't get booed if he slumps.
Right. It feels like you're right.
He's created a lot of goodwill.
By the way, I have something here on something we just talked about 20 minutes ago. I will not reveal the source, but a source close to the situation tells me the real bleacher creatures were a little upset last night, and it was, quote, Fugazi bleacher creatures that started the seventh inning roll call.
All right, so we did bring up that we noticed a roll call last night in the midst of the Yankee loss, merely asking a question, hey, is this a new thing? What's going on?
So amateurs sitting out there?
Yeah, that's what you're claiming?
Got it.
Yeah, some guys, you know, one or girls, one day tickets to the bleachers and decide, I'm here for one day. Let me just do it again.
Oh, wow. Did the bleacher creatures have a leader? I know Bald Vinny used to be that guy. Does he still, like, kind of lead the bleacher creatures?
It's hard for me to say. I've become very bougie. I don't sit out there anymore. But he still sells the T-shirts outside the stadium. So I don't know if he makes it into every game. But there's a couple, you know, bona fide leaders.
One game, I sat with the bleacher creatures.
How'd that go?
Amazing.
It's great. I mean, it is a great
one game.
Experience.
And
so
you know what the game was?
As a Mets fan, you sat with the bleacher creatures.
Tiki wasn't just as a Mets fan. It was a Mets game. I went.
What?
Look it up.
Wow.
The final Yankee Stadium.
Did you have your Mets stuff on?
Yes. 100%. I went. I said to myself before, I'll spit it out, the final Mets-Yankees game at Yankee Stadium. So I want you to look that up in 2008 and cite my correctness of this. Because maybe it was the second to last game. I just want to make sure I'm right. I think it was the last ever Mets-Yankees game at Yankee Stadium. I went in the bleachers because I said, I got to sit with the bleacher creatures. I have to experience it. And I scored the game. Did the whole thing. And if memory serves correct, the Mets kicked their ass. They beat the crap out of them.
And then they told you, don't ever come back?
They were classy as hell, man.
When we get to the new stadium, don't come back
here.
You will not be welcome. We respect you, but you will not be welcome.
I wish I could tell you that. They were very classy. They took their beating like men and women. They understood it. Did you find out the information to confirm I'm right or no?
I've only found the series at Shea. I'm trying to find that.
It's like go to baseball reference. 2008.
I am, and then it popped up in Shea. They killed Sidney Ponson at Shea. I'm trying to find the Yankee Stadium.
Find this in 2 seconds.
Right, calm down.
Got to let a child do a man's job.
That's rich coming from you.
Well, it's true. Look, I already found it. I got the answer right now.
Yeah, they beat him 11-2.
That was the game, 11-2. Thank you very much. There you go. I feel good now.
Good for you. Marlon Anderson bat second.
How pathetic is that, by the way? Let's go to Eli in Huntington. What's up, Eli?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Eli?
Hey, I'm just calling because I'm pumped about Stearns and his moves are starting to work out. And I know he kind of got buried during that 0-5 start.
Yeah.
Specifically from Tiki and his year of evaluation.
It is a year of evaluation. It still is that.
You were saying this team is not going to play hard because of that.
No, I never said they wouldn't play hard. I would never insult a fellow athlete and say they're not playing hard. unless I knew they weren't playing hard, Ben Simmons.
Enough.
Right? Yeah, I would never say that about a former athlete. But all I was saying was Met fans need to temper their expectation or their anger because we knew that this is what this season was.
Yeah, but I think what
it's an evaluation season. Now, if they overachieve through that evaluation, by all means, right? Make a move at the deadline. Do something that's going to, I don't know, give them a shot to get to and through the postseason. Of course, you're evaluating in real time. It's not like we're kicking this completely down to 2024 or 2025. This is, what do we have? Let's look at this team. And now, is it perfect? Of course it's not perfect. Because it hasn't been, Lindor's not hitting. J.D. Martinez is, I don't know when the hell he's coming up here, right? I thought maybe they bring Vientos up. He's kind of stuck between.
Vientos should have been up here to begin with. That pisses me off,
right? And now he's not coming up, though. You'd think with the injury update to J.D. that maybe they would make a move.
And he's tearing it up. And he's hitting.
Of course he is.
He should be up here.
But he's kind of, I mean, but you don't necessarily trust him up here. No, that's the problem.
Well, there's only way to trust him up here is to let him come up here and hit. That is the one major critique I have right now about David Stearns that makes no sense to me. And I'll address that in full detail on the Rico that I record after Sean, I, and Lugie go to the Islander game tonight. So it'll be a late night Rico. What am I going to say?
What are you going to say?
I'm going to say, why the hell is Mark Vientos not on the Major League roster?
But what's going to be your reason why? Why
do you think he's not? My conspiracy theory
reason? Yes, what's your conspiracy theory why? Because they want to trade him?
No, I think it has to do with position versatility on their roster. And I think that's dopey because Zach Short barely plays. Mm-hmm. So it feels like it's a waste of time that Zach Short is on this roster. And I said that on opening day, so this opinion hasn't evolved because I've seen nothing that would cause me to evolve it.
Yeah, he's not playing.
He doesn't play. Yes, he's better defensively. Yes, he provides versatility. Yes, he can be a pinch runner. But I see more value in a stick than I do that. So that's what I'll say later on the Rico. There's a little spoiler. We'll get back to a lot more of your phone calls. Plus, the Mets had a big win against the Atlanta Braves. I'm excited about it. Was something said after the game by a Met player that could come back and haunt us?